So the church, see, we got to come up level. Man, it's going to be much more of this stuff. They say that's caused the climatic changes. Well, the climatic changes, when it comes springtime here, it can be tornadoes and that kind of thing. I mean, church has really got to come up some levels, and got to come up levels in faith, got to come up levels in power, and that's our whole heart. And it's not just us that we're reaching for this next level. Churches all over the country that's in touch with the God are on the same journey we are. We just come out of, there's two major churches that we attend while we're gone, and one of them's shoot off Gateway, and the other one is Next Level Ministry, powerful ministry, spirit-filled ministry, and they're all, everybody that senses in the spirit are sensing this. We're not strong enough, and so that's what it truly makes the difference. The difference is between, I always get it wrong. Philip wasn't the one that was martyred. Who was it? James. Always get it right backwards. All right. James was martyred. Right after James was martyred, they captured Peter to martyr. James was killed. Peter was delivered. The difference was the praying church. They didn't know it was that important, that they didn't realize evidently that James was going to be martyred. So they didn't see the need together to pray. When they lost James, and when Peter was captured, they said, man, we've got to stop this. And so the church met together and interceded and prayed. And Peter was delivered. What was the difference in the two? There's only one. Prayer. The praying church. The praying church made the difference between one being, it's not that God doesn't want to, God wants to deliver, but we are God's vessels. We are God's entrance in earth. And we're his doorway. That's why I'm talking about doorway. So I'm talking about door. God began to deal with me about two and a half years ago about this door that he was expecting us. I didn't understand it then at all, but now I understand a little bit more. That God expecting, God's trying to get here. He's trying to get into our situations. He's trying his best to get into this earth. And so he's trying to find doors all over, just somebody. And see, Jesus can't come in. I mean, he's talking to the church in the book of Revelations, in Revelation chapter 3, where he says, I'm standing at your door knocking. Please let me in. He's not talking to lost. We use that in sermons for lost, but it's not talking to the lost. It's talking to the church. Jesus stand there and knock and say, please let me in. He said, I'll come in. I'll tell you secrets, is what he said. And so the difference between being totally destroyed and overcoming the difficulties that the devil's going to do, bring against us, is going to be the power and the strength of prayer. And it's not just praying. That's where this next level, God's, there's not a one of us that don't agree that prayer will make the difference. But we've got to allow the Holy Spirit to teach us how to pray on this next level. And right now, let me tell you, we're just like in a dark room, man. Sometimes the little kids, when they do in children's church, they like to come in here, don't you, Jerry? And then they like to play hide and seek in here, in sanctuary, under the chairs and things. But that's just what we're doing, man. We're just out here, got our hands out, trying to fumble, trying to find our way through this. The whole church world is in the same dilemma that we're talking about right here. Trying to find the way to get up that next level. But the Holy Spirit is the way. Jesus said he's the door. So that he will help us get up there. That's why the move is so important. That's why I believe strategically the Holy Spirit. And it's so good for me to do some traveling. It's good for all of us to do traveling, because what you find out is what God is doing and saying here, God's doing and saying a lot of the places in the world, is we're not abnormal. We're in line. And that's what helps me so many times, because it seems like we can become so weird because I'm weird. And so but when I get away and with other pastors, other churches, and hear hearts and hear what they're, same dilemmas, same place, try trying to get up to that next level. And it's really going to mean life and death. It's going to mean being able to come through. It's no more put a wall up there and don't nevertheless have a battle. Now, I believe there was an era possibly out there of ease in Zion that didn't do much for us, that kind of hurt us. It changed me from a warrior to a wimp. You understand? And to relearn. And I tell you what, I've had to really repent. In the last 3 years, I've had to really repent before the Lord. Because I allowed myself to move in areas of weakness, moving out of the things that I knew was strong. And it would take it. I allowed myself to do that. And what happened was, I was still keeping up some strength in my personal life, but that weakens too. And so I've had to repent. That's why I praise God every day for Donald and Thelma McCray. Because they kept our nose to the grind and the constant reminder of prayer. And it brought me back to repentance. Man, I've had to reach to man. Man, a year and a half ago, I was just really in the midst of repentance. Had to cry out, Lord, I have done wrong. I have caused weakness to enter in at a time where we greatly need. So it's no more, it will be no more knowing a church without problems. You understand that? So, and you need to get used to that in your life. It won't be anymore. But it's overcomers that God's made us. It's the word overcome. That means we have things we must overcome. There's battles that we must overcome. God, from this time in history on, we will learn to be soldiers. And the strength that we will learn to fight, and the ability that we will learn, and the commitment to the fight, will literally mean life and death. And it won't be just us. Because, believe it or not, it's not just you and I Satan wants. He wants what we love. Because what we love would break our heart. You see what I'm doing? What we love would break our heart. And devil thrives on breaking hearts. That's why Jesus is called the mender of broken hearts. So it's really desperate what the situation is. And like you can see that. The Bible says that in the book of Hebrews, what it said this earth is going to be turned inside out. That's the description. It's not hard to see that we've misused it, abused it. Not necessarily you and I, but this world. And the greed has done it. Greed has just misused and used up. They've used up the resources. They've used up the atmosphere. And the Lord knew that. And that's what we all call judgment. But that's what it is. It's just the process of sin is what it is in the earth. And the Bible says during this last day, it's going to be turned inside out. I mean, things are going to happen. Things are going to be taking place that we never, ever, uncommon is going to become the common. But God wants to make us the church in the wilderness. They were able to survive when there's nothing there. They were able to continue when there's nothing there. We're able to continue forward when there's nothing there. We're able to live by the supernatural provision of shoes not wearing out. Able to be healed by the supernatural provision of the Lord. I mean, there's going to be such disease breakouts. And I know several years ago, I sat with one of the doctors here in town. Man, he said, Jerry, you have no idea what we're on the brink of. He said, we're that close to disease breaking out, and we have nothing to do to stop it. I mean, this world is used up, and so from this point on, it's going to be, and so we're going to have to, and so that's what it is. And I'm telling you I feel so convicted. I do it all the time. I go back and read stuff that God has spoken into my heart 20 and 30 and 40 years ago. And I'm so convicted. I say, God, I don't even know that man anymore. I don't. things that God was speaking to my heart that I understood then, I have no understanding of it now. That's because of decline in me. See? And so I've had to repent before the Lord. But in that repentance, I repent before you. But we've got to get strong. We've got to become a strong, powerful church. For the survival of communities, in every community, God's doing this. Everyone that I can find, everyone who's raising up, He's raising up churches in almost every community to have this innate hunger to get to that next level and to get to that next level as quickly as we can. You know, a lot of things are going to have to do, and this series with Roberts is going to help us so much because we're going to have to lay some things down that we don't understand. We're just going to start off with some clean slates. Because truly, what it has been in the past, it's like maybe a six-year-old trying to understand life. The reason we don't understand things is because of that. Is because what's happened on us is adult living, and where we're operated so much of the time, where I've operated so much of the time, in childlike. Childlike hang-ups, childlike problems, childlike thinking. And then what it is produced, and that's what the enemy's intent was, if the enemy can hold you weak, then he can bring things into your life that you don't understand. When he brings things into your life that you don't understand, you develop hardness toward God. We don't feel that, we don't say that, but... Oh, let me do that again. But we develop this hardness toward God that develops in spiritual abortion in our life. And so what we got to do, we've got to just understand that some of the things we didn't understand, we was on a level, six-year-old trying to understand difficulties of life, no way they could. I'm just going to take that eraser, allow the eraser of grace to just wipe that off, and I'm just going to have to start. And just start out with Jesus fresh and let God rebuild trust levels into us that the devil tried to wipe away and destroy in years past. So don't settle in there. I don't understand things. All of us have those. Every one of us have those. But let the eraser of grace just erase that. All right, praise God. One of the first things, of course, is that we all really need to endeavor more to be filled with the Spirit. Especially, I wanted to say that to you leaders because of this. When the enemy's gone out, the Bible says he goes through desert places seeking to find rest, and he finds none. So he comes back to the same house. He says he's able to enter back into that house and bring seven more with him, because he found it swept, garnished, decorated, but empty. There's only one thing that can really fill your life full, and that's the Spirit of God and the Word. So as we're going through this session with Robert, and all of us are going to find little areas where that the enemy is hooked onto our life and tried to. There's not a one of us here that does not have familiar spirits. Familiar tendencies. What that simply is, as a child, things happened in the midst of our life, and we learned to find a certain amount of comfort, how to deal with a battle. We learned to deal with how we had to deal with our life, and usually I'm talking at the age, they say by the age 5 that a child's pattern is set. So I'm talking about it probably at ages prior to the time that a lot of us even have memories of. But at that period of time, we faced difficulties and we were seeking for comfort. And a lot of us did not have, we may have had Christian parents, but we didn't have parents that were strong in the Lord, understood spiritual warfare, understood those spiritual things. And even if we did, then that's still available. What happened? we found comfort zones. Those comfort zones are demonically inspired. For that's why one person gets angry. They get older and they get angry. They don't understand why they're angry. They're angry because as a child, that was the way they dealt with it. That's the way they found a way to last past the battle. Another person finds self-pity, and that's me. Man, I learned self-pity, man. I learned how to find comfort when there was nobody there that could understand the pain I was going through. I learned to find comfort in being caressed. And I wish I had a picture of that, but it would be a picture of a demon power just caressing me. See? Every one of us have those. Whether it's self-pity, whether it's fear, every one of us have those things that are familiar to us. They're so familiar to us. That's why they call familiar spirits. They're so familiar to us, we can't detect them as evil. See? That's why a person that's been delivered from anger can walk up to a person in anger and say, man, that's evil. That says, no, it's not. I'm not evil. See, familiar. It's familiar. It's been so familiarized with us in our life and with our past to where we grew up with that. And every time that we needed comfort, we would allow that same little demonic power to caress us, and we would find a way to make. So what we found ourselves, adults caressed by demons. And so as leaders, because there's not any of us that willingly give ourselves over. Man, we love Jesus. Every one of us here love Jesus. And we want to do something for God, and we're called to the Lord. We have a holy, and so what happens there is that that becomes so familiar, and it becomes so common with us and such a part of us. I tell you what, I've been growing in the Lord for a long, long time, and I still, that spirit of self-pity deceives me. It still deceives me. Now, I can catch a lot of it now. But every time that demon, see, that's the way, as a child, I would go to bed at night when life was so hard and had no one there, I'd cry myself to sleep in that self-pity, see. And if I give away that, I'm as weak as a dish rag. There is no strength in me. That familiar spirit will zap all of the strength out of me. And it makes me weak and vulnerable. And so then when I was facing health issues a few years ago, that spirit immediately tried to be my comfort. Immediately did. And if it did, it was going to kill me. That spirit immediately, I wanted to be standing in faith, but he wanted me to stand in faith with this comforting demon. See? Which was zapping my strength all the time. See? So only through the power of the Holy Spirit can that be discerned. It has to be discerned. It's discerning of spirits. We don't have the power because we're so familiar with these things. We're so familiarized with them, we can't tell them. They feel so normal to us. They feel so normal, we can't tell them. So that's why it takes discerning spirits. And a lot of times it takes somebody else being involved in our life with discerning of spirits. And that's hard. Makes a man mad. Every time Lane tells me that, I got self-pity. Every time, it still makes me mad. But every one of us needs somebody involved in our life with discerning of spirits that will help us identify familiar spirits which are not identifiable to us. We can't feel them because they feel normal. They feel familiar. So during this process of it, then during these next 3 weeks, and we're really considering that it really needs to go 4 weeks. We're thinking about linking up the whole 4 weeks. We were just concerned over the full 4 weeks. We went 4 weeks with Robert Nim in the Holy Spirit one, because that was intentional, that we would go into the Holy Spirit first, And then intentionally we would join with them then in with the deliverance side. Let me say, that's where I brought up all this. Because as the Holy Spirit sets us free from things, there's a space that becomes vacant. There is, now I don't believe it's physical space, but there's space in us spiritually that's occupied by these demonic powers that have caressed us, been a strength to us, helped us when we, you know, when we didn't have anybody to help us find the grace of God to walk through things at times in our life where we were so vulnerable. The devil, I hate the devil. Man, I hate evil because he takes vulnerable. I mean, he takes advantage of each one of us at our most crucial times of our whole lives. That's when he comes in and takes advantage of that. And so there's spaces to occupy, rooms. And Robert would do a beautiful, in fact, Robert's first ministry in this church was this line. Why? This is where Robert, when he would come here, this is where he would minister to us in this very line right here. This is his strength. This is his strongest understanding and teaching is the teaching. And he'll also share with you where his came from. Because he was a preacher and a pastor. And he was walking, but he had all these bondages in his life. And James Robinson called him to come to him one day. And James Robinson said, Robert, these things are attached to you. And Robert said, I fought it, I resisted it, but I knew it. I knew I wasn't normal. And so James Robinson shared with him and acted as that discerning person that a lot of times we all had to have. And so James Robinson was able to help Robert. And that became the strength. You that remember Robert here, you remember this was the strength. This was his major strength, his deliverance and freedom. And it's walking in that area. So we're going to be so blessed. But rooms will become empty. Spaces will become empty. As we lose those little caressing things that's held on to us for like attachments so for so many years, as we lose those, as we rid those from our life, then there's going to be vacant places that's in our life. All right, and those vacant places have to be filled. If not, a person gets free, and a year later, they're seven times worse, or some length of time. I don't know what. Because the Bible said, the spirit that goes out of the man walks through desert places seeking rest, but findeth none. So he says, I will come back to the same house, and I will enter in. And that's why I'm at the measure of strength. The Bible says you can't spoil a house unless you first find the strong man. As long as we're a weak man, I had my sister-in-law's funeral was yesterday. Sweet, a lady that really helped me first when I first started walking in the Lord. Just wonderful. She's my brother's wife, of course. And wonderful. They've been married for years and years, and she went to be with the Lord. Well, my brothers married brothers. Sisters. Pardon me. I'm sorry. Forget what I said. Anyway, my brothers married sisters. And so I was talking to my other sister, my other brother's wife, that was married to my other brother, with the one that's still living. Oh, I'm confused. But anyway, I walked up to her and I said, Murtis, I said, you Bradford girls are so good because y'all are so strong. Because they were strong. And the ones that are still living are still strong. I said, I just want to really commend you. I said, you're so strong. Right now, she's fighting Alzheimer's, and she's really, but yesterday she was clear. Lily, you know who I'm talking about, Murtis. And so I went up to Murtis, and I said, Murtis, I said, man, you Bradford, I just want to commend you. Y'all have all been so strong. She turned around, she said, we had to be. We married such weak men. And so I said, yeah, man. All of us able to, we're weak, of course, man. We're one of us. And so.
I disagreed with her.
But it was so funny because 5 minutes later she said, what did I say? You know, because she's fighting that enemy in that area. So sweet. But, but if we're weak, the enemy has no problems coming and taking from us what he wants. That's what the scripture teaches. He has to first, before he can take anything away from you, the Bible says, that spirit has to come in and bind the strong man. Now, it's vice versa with him, too. He's speaking both ways. It's when they were accusing Jesus of preaching through the power of Beelzebub. So if we remain weak, the devil can come in and bind us and take anything away from us he wants to. But when we realize the strength that we've got to be strong, we've got to get strong so the enemy can't take away from us. Because I've always found this, when the enemy comes to take, he takes what you least expect but what you love the most. That's the way, I don't know how he does it. He sits and watches us, and he determines how to hurt your heart the most. So when the enemy comes in, that's what he comes in to rob. He comes in to rob what you least expect, but what you love the most. And so you got to be aware, so we can't stay weak. We got to be strong so we can protect so the enemy can't come in and bind. Yeah, man, when I went through that 2 years of depression, that's the prayer I kept praying. I said, Lord, I refuse to be weak. I will not let the devil take. At that time, I was thinking about my kids and my wife. I said, I will not let the devil, and I know if he comes through me, if you get me, I know you will destroy them. I refuse. I told him that probably almost, I don't know how many thousands of times I told him that. I refuse to be weak. I refuse to be weak. When I was feeling weak as jelly, I was feeling like I was so weak, I couldn't stop anything. But constantly I was telling the devil, I will not be weak. I am not weak. I will not be weak. I will not allow you to come and bind me and take away from my home. I will not allow that. And that remained my confession of faith through all of that depression, that I will not be weak. I will not be bound. I will not lose. You will not take from me. And so, you got to be filled, or got to be moving toward that. And a lot of times, it's the very bondage that's keeping us from really experiencing repeated infillings of the Holy Spirit. I mean, it's the bondage. With me, it was the bondage of shyness. Man, the Lord called me to preach, it's such a miracle, because, man, I really could not stand to be up in front of anybody. And I'm so shy when it was with the Holy, when it came, Holy Spirit, man, the hardest thing, I remember that night that I finally received, and I was so disappointed because I didn't that night. And I remember how hard it was to walk up there. See, because that demon that had caressed me from a child was trying to pull me into self-pity, saying, you see there, if God loved you, you wouldn't have to go up there. And that demon was trying to pull me back there. And I remember how hard it was. So usually it's the very spirits that's holding you back from moving forward in God. So what you have to do then, you have to determine, man, I'm going to move forward in the Spirit of the Lord, because it will have to be filled. You can make it look pretty after a demon's gone. That's why I say three words: swept, garnished, and empty. That's the three words the Bible says that a person remained. They started looking better when the Spirit was gone, but they were still empty. And because they looked better when the demon was gone, he could come back in. So he had to get filled. Praise God. There's various ways that spirits gain access, just unintentionally. One area is that's the area of caressing us as a small child. But I'm going to ask Lane to share one on the way the enemy uses it, repeated physical. Will you mind doing that, darling? You sure? What starts out in the flesh can become demonic. what starts out as a repeated weakness in the flesh can become demonic. So Lane, explain that to us.
Testing. There you go. Thank you. You know, the other day when Crystal preached on soul ties, were y'all here when she preached on soul ties? And she talked about mentoring. See, mentoring is so important because when Jared and I first got saved, our pastors were our mentors, Brother and Sister Ralph Copeland. I don't know if y'all, any of y'all knew them, but they were our mentors. And, you know, as a young Christian, we would look at them with, I want to be just like them. I want to be just like them. And we only got to stay with them for about a year. And then we had to leave that church and start pastoring our own church. I was 19 and he was 20. You know, that church got a lot of wisdom. We'd been saved a year. We pastored our first church. We look back on us. God has a sense of humor. But he put us in a little church that had the most wonderful group of deacons. And they just took us under their wings and raised us. And they were lifelong friends. And so that's one reason we love our deacons so much. They're lifelong friends, you know. But anyway, who is mentoring us now is a pastor called Bill Johnson. And he's the pastor of Bethel in California. Bethel was the church who originated Freedom Ministries. Gateway just picked it up from Bethel. So if you really want some great preaching, you go to your phone, you download Bill Wilson. Johnson. I'm just really sleepy. I've been on vacation. I haven't been getting up early. A lot of mornings, I didn't get up till 10 o'clock. And so when I had to roll out at 6 this morning, it about killed me. But you have to constantly be growing. You got to constantly be growing. And people that are not putting themselves under somebody to be mentored. Yes.
I just want to say, you're so important. I also go to counseling every month. I don't know if you know, I drive to Dallas, Texas, and I'm under counseling there of a guy that started Freedom Ministries, which most of you heard him preach, Bob. Bob. Yeah. And he's become such a precious part of my life. And because these areas of control, you know, I just determined. And that's what I told Bob when I went to see him the first time. I said, Bob, I'm getting older. And when I stand before Jesus, I don't want to present a bound man. When I stand before Jesus, one thing I want to give Jesus, I want to give Jesus a free man. Amen. And I said, help me to be free. And so he's been, like mentioned, Bill Johnson. I also wanted to say Bob is mentoring me on a real personal basis in areas of angers, in areas of childhood situations, those things where I was, see, I'm just determined now. God's power is going to free me. And I want healed of every wound that the devil has shot at me with. Amen.
The kids say, how come mama don't go to counseling? Daddy's going to counseling. Well, we can't afford for both of us to go. $150 an hour, we can't afford for both of us to go. But when the head gets free, it flows down. So it's way more important for the head of the house to go and get free so it can flow down, you know. And then when he gets free, then the next one can go, you know. But anyway, he said something the other day. Bill said something the other day that just really, I thought, was profound. He said, because we're dealing so much right now with demonic spirits, y'all may not be aware of the attack the church is under. And we kind of thought it was just us until we started traveling and listening to other preachers preach and listening to what other pastors are saying. The church as a whole is under very demonic attack. The devil is trying to kill the church here in the last days when the world needs the church the most. And he don't really care if we have church as long as it's dead. In fact, he likes a dead religion. The devil loves dead religion. because it puts people into a sense of a false security, you know. That's why this morning I couldn't stand it when I walked in here and everybody's just standing around just kind of worshiping God like, oh, well, it's Sunday. Man, if we are full of resurrection life, everywhere we should go, we should be resurrecting everything around us. Catherine Kuhlman one time told Benny Hinn, he was complaining about being tired and being weary and everything, and she said, how can you even talk about being tired if the resurrection spirit lives inside of you? It's daily resurrecting you. Daily resurrecting you. So we don't understand the power of resurrection power. It's every day bringing a new level of resurrection life in us. But anyway, when I walked in here this morning, and it was just so churchy feeling. I cannot go to a dead church. I was raised in a dead church. When every Sunday, my Sunday school teacher went to a fortune teller every week and would come to Sunday school and tell us what her fortune teller told her. It was the most prejudiced church you ever been in. From the pulpit, the pastor made racist jokes. I hate dead church. And I will not be a part of a dead church. And so whenever I feel that spirit of complacency, you know, like when we come into the house of God and we don't realize we are here to celebrate the greatest thing in the universe, and we just act like it's another Sunday, you know, I can't stand it. I will not go to a dead church. And we've got to get resurrection power operating here. And we cannot blame anybody else but our very own selves. Because when we walk into a room, if we're full of resurrection life, it should activate resurrection life, you know. So anyway, Bill said, and because we've been fighting so many demonic spirits, I mean, for a long time in the church, these spirits were hiding from us. And they were just doing all this dirty work behind our back. Yeah. And we were not aware of it. It was just doing all this dirty work behind our back. But then when we became aware of it and began to confront it, it got out of from hiding and just directly assaulted us face on. I mean, I have had things said to me in this church that I would have slapped my children down if they would have talked to me with that tone of disrespect. And that level of disrespect for authority. I have had people say things to me in this church that I could not believe would come out of a mouth of a believer to an authority. Because see, what Moses told, what God told Moses was, Moses, it's not you that they're assaulting. It's me. When you talk about authority in the house of God, it is not you, Moses. It was me. And the Lord said to me, he said, when they talk to you like that, they're talking to God like that. And have no fear of God. No fear of authority. In the book of Jude, it's called, how does it say it? Has no fear of dignities or authority, whatever. But anyway, most of y'all don't even aware the level that the enemy has infiltrated the church. And the way... Yeah, the weakness, but I'm talking about the attack on leadership. And so we've really been pursuing spiritual freedom, how to get people free. That's one reason we're doing the simulcast, you know, casting out demons. And so when Bill said that this week, it just went off in me like, he said, what can start out as flesh, the devil will take advantage of and it'll become a demonic spirit. Like, for instance, let's just attack the big one right now, the Jezebel spirit that's operating in the church. Let's just attack that one. If a woman disrespects her husband, then it may start out in the flesh, but it's going to end up a demonic spirit, a Jezebel spirit. See? And she may just say something like, how dare you do that, or why did you do that, or no, I'm not going to do that. Or it may just start out as a flesh statement. But the devil heard it, and he will move in with a Jezebel spirit and take over that house. And many of y'all have heard me say this, but men with an Ahab spirit will allow that in their home, but God won't allow it in his church. So if the husbands and wives in this church are operating under Ahab and Jezebel spirits, you can do it in your home, but if you bring it into the church, God's going to expose it. He will not allow it. in his church. Just read the book of Revelations. He said, if you don't get that Jezebel spirit out of your church, I will remove your candlestick. The candlestick is the church. You will no longer be a church. You'll be a social club. There's a lot of social clubs that meet under the name of church in the United States. They are not a church of Jesus Christ, but they have the name church on their building because the candlestick has been removed. And Jesus no longer walks in that church because they wouldn't listen to Jesus and wouldn't obey Jesus. See? And so where we've got to be careful is that we can just make a little action of the flesh. Maybe you don't like something your authority did. It could be your authority at home. It could be your authority on the job. It could be a policeman pulling you over, you know. But the minute you get mad at authority, and if you've talked about the president, I'm talking to you. He is the authority of this country, and God put him there. Don't matter how you voted. The Bible says God lifts up and God puts down. And you know, when Jordan and I first got saved and started pastoring, and he would do something I didn't think was right, and I'd tell him I didn't think it was right, you know? But the thing that I realize is, if I was the pastor of this church, none of y'all would be sitting here. Nobody would come to church here if I was the pastor. You know, God puts in authority who he wants in authority. And so if I speak against the leadership of the church, see, there's been a lot of speaking against the leadership of this church. I want y'all to know that we know. And let me tell you how we know. The Bible says when you speak against a king, even in your bedchamber, the demons, the birds go and tell him. Demon. The demon will tempt you into talking about your authority, and then he'll go tell on you for doing it. And so you have got to realize that we're not playing church games and we're not playing social games. We are in a spiritual house of God and the rules are God's. And we're going to do it the way God said do it, or the devil is going to lure us into so much deception that we're going to be total hypocrites and think we're right and everybody else is wrong. See, an act of flesh can turn into a demonic stronghold. Jared and I was talking about a person the other day here in the church that just got a job. And the first thing I heard out of that person's mouth was bad talking the boss the first day on the job. Has no idea that that is warfare, that that is demonic activity. And sits in this church every Sunday. I don't know how we are not getting the point across that flesh opens the door to demonic activity. Flesh opens the door to demonic activity. And every time we walk in the flesh, we give the devil a door to come in and build a stronghold. And the only thing that stops that from happening is obeying Jesus. It's not a big mystery. You read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you do what he said. I had a person come to me the other day, and somebody in the church had been really ugly to them. And it just hurt their feelings so bad. And I said, well, you're just going to have to do what Jesus said. Three things Jesus said do to your enemies. Love them, pray for them, and bless them. And this person said, but they're not my enemy. They're kin to me. And I said, you don't know the word of God. Anybody who rises up against you is an enemy. You're going to have a lot of enemies, but you can't be anybody's enemy. You're going to have a lot of enemies, but you cannot be anybody's. And every enemy that you have, and it can be your family, your household, your children, your parents, you love them, bless them, and pray for them. That's the only thing you can do and be right with God. See? So every act of flesh will open the door to a demonic stronghold. And the only way we get flesh out is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Read it and do it. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Read it and do it. Read it and do it. I'm sorry.
But anyway, we're just, our heart is just crying out in the midst, and pastors all over the country are. I didn't mean to shock you, tell you I go to a counselor. If you lived with Elaine, you'd go to a counselor too. another shock, Robert goes to a counselor every month. Every month. Almost every person that is involved in leading people that want to keep their hearts right with God and want to make sure that they keep leading people in a right kind of way. They want to pull down every stronghold that would cause.
Can I say one thing about something right quick? And because this is a leadership meeting, I'm going to call names. All right, there is a preacher that preaches on TV right now that is very popular. Everybody loves him. Everybody listens to him. But several people have come to us and asked us, what's his view on the Holy Spirit? What's his view on the Holy Spirit? So while we were gone, we downloaded his message on the Holy Spirit. And this is what he said. And if you want to know who it is, you go download all your favorite preacher's messages on the Holy Spirit. He said, this is what he said. And I don't listen to him much anymore because of it. He said, oh, I'm not against speaking in tongues. And he said, and I've done it once, but didn't do nothing for me. He is one of the most popular preachers in this church that people listen to. You download all your favorite preachers, since Jerry Dale said I can't call names, you download all your favorite preachers and see what they're viewing. Because anybody that does not put the Holy Spirit as equal with God has a problem.
Let's stand together. Oh, Lord, you're so good to us. Precious power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we can't get there. We can't get there alone. Lord, there's no way that we can span this time or span our bondages or even understand, Lord, what the battle is. Lord, we do know that the enemy's job is to accuse other people to us. He's the accuser of the brethren. Help us, Lord. Help us to move up into higher levels of trust, higher levels of faith in you, higher levels of peace in the midst of the storms, higher levels of joy in the midst of all conflict, God, and higher levels of warfare. Lord, do not allow us to face an enemy that's on a higher level than we're on. We trust you, God. Bring us up, Lord. 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 Bring us up, Lord, to a higher place.